So Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1 says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. Thank you for the blessing tonight to have Brother Samuel with us, Lord, and hear the great update, Lord, of what's going on, Lord, really around the United States, yea, the world, for the cause of Christ and reaching out to the Jewish people. And God, we're so thankful for an opportunity to co-labor in this effort, dear God, to reach these precious people. And God, I pray you'd bless that ministry in a rich way and the leadership there, God, just to have wisdom as they connect this radio station that wasn't for it but then became for it. Lord, no doubt you worked on their hearts. God, just the way you work is amazing. We thank you for that. We thank you for how you worked in the tent meeting, God. We thank you, God, for loving us and using us, God. And we have nothing to offer. But God, as we yield to you, you do amazing things through your people. And God, I pray tonight that you might just help us tonight, encourage us through this text of scripture. And God, I pray you'd bless richly, Lord, in a mighty way. Help us now, I pray, with this scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a reason that this book mentioned here in this text has been sealed for all these years. If you look back at our text in Revelation chapter 5, you'll notice in that first verse it says that there was a book written within and on the backside. And it's this book that's sealed with 7 seals. And then how in this text they looked for one that could open that book and they found none. Not in heaven, not on earth, not under the earth. There was none there that could open this book so that it could be read. And there's a reason why it's been sealed these many years. And I'll share with you in a minute how many years I believe that it's been sealed. And the breaking of these seals, the opening of this book, will unleash, as we know in this text, will unleash a series of plagues. We know them to be called the seal judgments. And it's these seals on this book, these 7 seals that these correspond to in Revelation chapter number 6. Now, imagine if a man on earth was in charge of this book. Imagine if you were in charge of this book or I was in charge of this particular book. I believe we would have opened it a long time ago, amen? Because this will be that first in the series of judgment in the tribulation period. And in a sense, it really does initiate the tribulation period in some sense. And that's what this book is. It's a book of prophecy. It's a book of end times things directly connected to this last 7-year period of the law spoken of from Daniel specifically. So turn over to Daniel chapter number 12 very quickly. Daniel chapter number 12. We find that as we go on in our text in Revelation, it's going to reveal that Christ is the only one who can open the seals to this book. And one thing we've learned about Christ is the fact that he's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I mean, here's a man, 100% man, 100% God. Here's one who came to this earth. And if you just know the details of when he came and all the details that led up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and all that he endured, the Bible says he endured a great contradiction of sinners against himself and how he was abused and how he was hated and how he was mocked. And it was the religious community that hated him the worst. And all that he went through, for all that to have happened, and he could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. He could have called all of them to his beck and call, and yet he chose not to because he looked down through the annals of time, both before and then after the cross of Calvary, and he knew without this sacrificial work on the cross that all men would be damned. None would have an atoning sacrifice. None would be able to be delivered from their pending thrusting into hell based on the fact that they're a sinner. All that started from original sin through Adam on through us by choice sinning. All of us deserve to go there, and yet we find Christ was long-suffering, still is to this day, and he desires people to be born again. He desires people to have their sin issue dealt with once and for all. And not only was there not a man that could open this book, there's not a man that can satisfy the requirements based upon from God's word, based upon the reality of one who sins, having that fixed. No man by his own work, no man by his own effort, no man by his religious deeds, no man can fix this problem on their own without Jesus Christ. So not only can Jesus only open this book, Jesus can only save a soul. Amen. And so we see a connection there. But in Daniel 12, in verse number 1, it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble." Now we know that time of trouble is referring to Jacob's trouble. And this is the tribulation period. And that has not happened yet. Amen. "Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." And by the way, this is Daniel giving prophecy here from Babylon. Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes north, had already been taken out by Assyria, hauled away. And then the southern kingdom, they were taken out by Babylon through three series of disbursements there, bringing them into Babylon. That has already happened. So he's saying what's going to happen, what's already happened doesn't even compare to what's going to happen. That's what he's saying, that this right here, that there has not been a time like this in that nation, yea, even on earth. And we find in this text, it goes on to say, "such as was since there was a nation, even to that time, that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." And of course, we know those are born again. And at the midway point, the tribulation period after the abomination of desolation is offered there on the sacrifice, I believe by the Antichrist himself. I believe the Bible teaches that. And then we know that there will be a nation saved in a day. And so I just want you to see that. That's what this passage is talking about prophetically. Look at verse number 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And that's fast forwarding to that resurrection, verse 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." He says, "Daniel, that book right there, I just revealed all that to you. We're going to close that thing up and we're going to seal it. And it's not going to be opened again until the end." Well, when's the end? It's when these events are going to unfold. Amen. And so I believe that book is a direct reference from Revelation 5 back to this text in Daniel. It says, "And seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Amen. And we use this text to show that in the last days, knowledge is going to explode. There's going to be a transfer of knowledge. It doesn't mean that people are getting smarter. It just means that there will be a greater exchange of knowledge. Can you think of a time in history when that might you know, be pointing to? A time where knowledge, the transfer of information, can you think of a time where it's absolutely just exploded in reference to getting knowledge? Is there any time like that? Anybody Googled anything lately? It wasn't that long ago. When was the iPhone first put out? 2007, 2008? 15 years ago. That's it. Can anybody remember a time not having a phone like this where you can fit? You can remember? I really can't. I do, but it's like being married. I feel like I've been married forever. Amen? And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. that wasn't a bad thing. My wife knows me. But I feel like I've had kids forever. Angie, can you think of a time without kids? I mean, that's hard, isn't it? How do you think that way? Amen? It's very, very difficult to think that way. Once you get down through some time, being married, I cannot even fathom what it's like not to be married. And you might think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. Amen? And the same thing. I have a hard time thinking about what life was like not being a pastor. Then pastor, this 22, 21 years, something like that, I don't know. Lose track, amen, of the actual years or time frame. But it just feels like I've been doing this forever. Amen. The same thing with the phones, we have all that. I mean, you think about it. There was a time where people would drive around and all that. And if something happened, you didn't have a phone to call somebody. But unless you really think hard and try to imagine, parents, what that's like when your kids are out driving on their own, amen. Unless you can think about what that's like, can you imagine? No. But it's only been really 15 years. I mean, now, I had a bag phone, well before iPhone and all that, different things, just because you could. But all I'm trying to say is that this is really a relatively new phenomenon. All of this transfer, this Google Translate, right? I've used that. You're trying to talk to someone, whatever, different language, and have them talk on your phone. It pops out what the English is, or you ask in English, it tells what their language. This is an amazing day to live, but quite possibly this passage is referring to a day much like we're living in today. That knowledge will run to and fro, right? All the ability to just go. I mean, we could be overseas in no time now. The ability to just travel, the ability for information to be accessed roundabout. And so if this is this book that it's being talked about, Daniel was in captivity around, this would have been around the 580, 575 BC time frame. And so if we add that to our years, 2022 on our calendar anyway, we're roughly talking about 2,600 years. 2,600 years, this a prophetic book, a scroll no doubt, was sealed with seven seals. And all these things were set. And by the way, that would correspond to as well the image of Nebuchadnezzar, which set a time frame that Daniel displays very well, brings forth very well. And it shows how the nations will come and go, come and go, come and go, come and go, all the way until a nation, a rock is set up that will actually crush the toes, the iron mixed with clay, the Roman Empire, if you will, that still exists, the broken Roman Empire that still exists today. And when Christ's kingdom comes in and sets that up, then all those kingdoms go as his then is the one on earth for 1,000 years. All of that was set in place in Daniel, the book of Daniel, around this time frame. So in this same time frame, this scroll is given. All those details are given. And it's rolled up and it's sealed with seven seals. And it's not to be opened until the end. And to make sure it doesn't get opened prematurely, only Christ can open it. The one who has the most invested in this whole thing. The one who shed his blood for those that he loved, you and I. You see, you and I get a little upset with people because they cut us off or say something, whatever, to us. We get a little upset. But aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't just fly off the handle? I mean, a man with his power to fly off the handle, we'd be in trouble. I wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be here today, amen? Ladies, can you imagine your husband's holding that kind of power? Children, can you imagine your parents having that kind of power? You all wouldn't be here today, I'm telling you. Amen? That's how it goes. But Jesus can handle that kind of power. Amen? And that's the book that's been sealed. Look at Revelation chapter 5 once again. Now, why do we do what we do in reaching out to the lost? Number one, the primary reason is because Christ is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be separate. He's worthy to read his word. He's worthy to preach his word. He's worthy for me to witness to others and tell what good thing he's done for them. He's the reason why we do what we do. Amen. He's the one that came to this earth. He lived the perfect life, died the perfect death. He shed perfect righteous blood so that whosoever would come could be saved. The only thing that's missing right now is getting the message out. Because with this great transfer of knowledge going on, all of that knowledge going around isn't doing the job, because God wants the job to be done individual to individual, a person reaching a person, amen. There's something about it that God has put together that way. Now, at the opening of this book in heaven, the saints of this age, to include you and I, amen, at this point in this text, if you're born again, we will be gathered around the throne. Look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, at this scene is Christ, and he's surrounded by the elders who represent the saints of this age. Now, looking at this text, I would say that, of course, the seven seals represent that first series of judgments, which God's going to spell out very plainly in Revelation chapter 6. The seven horns, there's different thought about this, but it seems to be that representation of Christ's power on earth. And God, when he was listing out the churches, gave seven churches there in chapters 2 and 3, amen. Not that there was only seven churches in existence, but of those seven, you see really all churches fit in there, amen, in those seven. And it's a representation of all the churches of this age, amen. That's what it is. Christ began his church, and from that point on, as the gospel spread, these churches spawning up, individual churches, our church, these seven in Revelation 2 and 3, we'll find ourselves somewhere in those, amen. It's a good description, not only of churches, but the ages that lead up till the end. But I believe these seven horns here to be that representation of power. Look over at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. The power of God that's disseminated in this age for reaching people. Where's it disseminated? Where's his power disseminated through in this age? Revelation 22. And in verse number 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Do you see who's saying come? It's the Spirit of God. And it's the bride, it's the churches, it's the born-again believers that are grouped up together in these local assemblies. It's our job. God is working through us. His Spirit is working through us to get this invitation for mankind to come and to drink of that water of life through Jesus Christ. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. We don't want to mess with God's word, amen. Just preach it. We don't change it. We don't correct it. We just preach it. And out of the holy city and from the things that which are written in this book. Look at verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so we know this is the concluding passage there in the book of Revelation, the prophecy being sealed. Amen. But when we look back at Revelation chapter 5 and in verse number 6, we'll find that Christ around his throne at the conclusion of this dispensation, this church age, the rapture's taken place, Revelation chapter 4. We're gathered around the throne there. We see the elders as that representative there, but we're gathered there as saints, and it's noted that the seven horns are there. I believe that's the power from this previous age. The Spirit is there. Both the entities that have been reaching out, the Spirit and the bride, say, come. And they're there, and we are there, and we're gathered around the throne at this great ceremony as God begins to allow Christ, now God the Father, giving Christ the Son the permission, if you will, to take and loose the seven seals that are on the book of prophecy that's been sealed since Daniel chapter 12 back in some 575 years prior to the coming of Christ. It's been sealed, and we're there as representatives watching this event take place as the seals are broken, and the prophecy then will ensue from that point on. And if you know your Bible at all, amen, Revelation chapter 6 through chapter number really 18, 19, oh my, there's four series of seven of judgments, seven in a course, the thunders we know nothing about, but they are a series, amen. And these things wreak havoc on all those that chose to reject the message of the gospel from the Spirit of God and from the Church of the Living God, amen. They have rejected and they've chosen their course, and now they have to now endure the judgments that take place, which ultimately will remove them and thrust them into hell until the time of the end that they're resurrected. But that's what happens. This is the scene that we see here. Look at verse 7 of Revelation chapter 5. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. How many saints do you think have prayed for this day? I imagine you and I have prayed for this day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God, I'm having a bad day right now. It'd be a good day for you to come back right now. All those prayers like that. God, as I look out and I see the wickedness going on and the slaughter of innocent life and babies and the foolish decisions all over the world, the holy wars that are still taking place in religious communities and all the saints that are being slaughtered on and on and on and on and on. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And all of these prayers that have called for God to enter into that next phase. That's what we're asking for. When someone says, when's the end of the world? This is what they're talking about. This is the beginning of the end of the world right here. This is the event that has to happen, which changes everything on earth as we know it right now. This is it. This is what those prayers are for. And it's right here that these prayers are there as well. They're there at this event, which is absolutely amazing. Amen. Let's look back at our text, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. We're coming, by the way, we're only in heaven for a short time. We're coming back to earth and we'll be there in the millennial kingdom with Christ right back on earth. Amen. And it says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a lot. Amen. Saying with a loud voice. I love math, but that's a lot. Amen. Saying with a loud voice. Listen to this. This is what's going to be said for all of these people together in unison. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You know who's going to be there shouting that? The same one shouting it today, amen. We're the one shouting today. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Why do we do what we do? Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. We are worshiping Jesus as we preach to others the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a form of worship, amen. Yes, I love those that need to be born again, but I will say this, I love Jesus more, amen. He is the only one that cared for me. He's the only one that was able to do something for my lost condition, amen. He's the only one that was able to come and to pick me up out of the dunghill that I was in, amen. He alone could do it. All kinds of people had some advice, amen. But he's the only one that had the power to do for me what was necessary, amen. And for that reason, I know he is worthy. That's why we do what we do. I wonder, based on our lives, how much God sees that we believe he is worthy, amen. But he needs to see it from us. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. Something like that, amen. And the 24 elders that's a representation of the church, all the people of the church, amen. They fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Christ is worthy. Why do we do what we do in reaching out to the lost? I believe two reasons. Christ is worthy, and the end is near. There's just being expeditious in our reality of time, trying to take account and redeem the time. We know the days are evil. Just understanding how short time really is important, but Christ is worthy. For all those that reject the gospel, let's very quickly look at what their attitude will be like just after the sealed judgments happen. Look at Revelation 6 and verse 12. You might say, man, I don't like going out and telling people about Jesus because, man, sometimes they're just not real nice. And they take my track I try to give them, they laugh at me or they throw it down. And by the way, that just doesn't happen a whole lot, but there's always a chance that could happen. Or sometimes they try to debate you I'm sure if you're on Facebook and you post something about the Lord, I'm sure you get all kinds of niceties, amen. And all that depending on who you're connected with. I'm not really on there, but on the YouTube thing, sometimes the glory there is if I get some coming out, like I just deleted, amen. No one sees it. But the point is that sometimes we might get to feeling like, you know, the world's so powerful and, you know, the monetary system, who can go again? Who can fight that? And who can fight all these mega billionaires and fight all of the Hollywood side and fight all the media side? Who can fight? Let me just show you. Just after the seals are opened, let me just show you how their demeanor and their take on things change. Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And by the way, I want you to know this. If of those that study the book of Revelation, they say that this is the part of the tribulation period that's the easiest. Right? A lot of people will call this the beginning of sorrows. Now, I'm one, I believe by the study of scriptures, we're already in the beginning of sorrows. I don't believe the beginning of sorrows part are the tribulation period, personally studying it out. I believe it's all great tribulation. I know the end is called great tribulation, but it's all tribulation. But the beginning, the breaking of the seals is just the beginning of it. And by the way, from my estimation, I believe like a third of the population on earth dies in that easy part. All right. Verse 14, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. Watch this. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the ones we were just talking about a minute ago, and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Why has Christ been so slow in a sense of taking that book and opening those seals and even before that, enabling the rapture to take place prior to that, because that'll happen first? Why has he been so long-suffering in that? Because he knows what this means. He knows what this means for all those that chose not to accept him as Savior. And so as we ponder our part in this, by the way, in this dispensation, we're it. We're the only hope this world has. God has not given the preaching of the gospel to anybody else except you and I that are born again sitting in local churches, amen. That's who it's given to. That's who he handed this, the Great Commission to. You say, well, that doesn't fare real well for the rest of the world. Well, it can.
Because you and I have an opportunity not only to see the world come to Christ, but we have an opportunity to worship God in the process. And that's the point of this text. This is what we're talking about. Know this, no matter who you're talking to, Christ has already won the victory. Christ, we are more than conquerors through him. He's already won the victory. We have nothing to be ashamed about. We have nothing to feel bad about. He's victorious already. But know this, there's coming a day when all these events are going to happen. And I don't know when. I tend to think it's going to be sooner rather than later. But once this happens, time will be no more in reference to the time that we have today. The time we have today, we can still reach out. We can still worship God in this way. But once this happens, once you get to this point in the tribulation, there is no local church left on earth. And then the gospel, God's always faithful in giving a gospel witness, even through the tribulation period. 144,000 Jewish men then are sealed for the preaching gospel ministry. And two amazing saints there in Jerusalem, amen. We can debate about who those are, amen. But they're preaching the gospel in this time. And then by the midpoint, when they're off the scene, and they're singing a song together in glory with Jesus, amen. Then we have an angel flying around preaching the gospel, because it's not going to be fit on earth for any human being to preach the gospel then. So at that point, there's an angel flying around preaching the gospel. God is always faithful at leaving that gospel witness. Today it's you and I. It's us. It's us as saints gathered together in a church, amen, given the Great Commission. So God is faithful. But know this, this day is coming. And I would encourage us as a church, let us worship God like never before in this way, in getting the message of the gospel out. It's a form of worship, amen. It's not, some say it's a responsibility. Well, yeah, it's a responsibility, but it's more than that. It's not like, oh, I have to. No, I get to. I get to worship God in this way, amen. Worship God by promoting what he did for mankind, and even tell him, look, if anybody else was in charge of that book, it would already be opened, amen. It would already be open. But Jesus loves you so much, he's given you a little bit more time to repent. But if you hold off and you wait, you can show him this is what's coming. And no, nobody will be able to stand against Jesus in that day. So I hope you can think about that just a little bit tonight and ponder it, because this is truly the reason why we do what we do. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. Thank you for the time in your word. Thank you for the scriptures which reveal to us these things so that we can keep a proper perspective on where we're at in this life. God, it was such a blessing to be out amongst the other churches, Lord, over the last month and just out trying to reach part of our community, really just a little bit extended from here, Lord, with the gospel of Christ. But Lord, through it all, I don't know who all received it. I don't know who all was open to it. I don't know. I know a lot of people drove by and they weren't open to it. God, we were there more than for them. We were there because we love you. And we worship you in this way, knowing, God, that you're worthy. Every drop of blood you shed, you're worthy. You're worthy for everything you've done. And whether people accept you or not, you're worthy. We see you as worthy. We love you. We're so thankful for what you've done for us. And because of that, we want to tell the world about you, God, so that you receive the glory to your name. Thank you for the souls that were saved. Thank you for the decisions that were made. But most of all, we just want to say thank you, dear God, for all that you've done for each of us, and yea, the whole world, that we might be delivered from our condition of sin and not be thrust into hell at the end of our days. But, oh God, I pray for those that haven't yet come to you. Help us, Lord, to be effective in preaching the gospel in a right way. Help us, Lord, to be about your business in these days that we have left. And God, when we're gathered around the throne and in the future here, oh God, might it be a shout in time, rejoice in time, not because souls are cut off at that point, but because of all the souls that are there with us, giving you honor and glory around that throne. Thank you, Father, for this night and this time in Jesus' name.